There we go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee with Centuro. I'm here with Ben and Seraj. So how are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Busy afternoon for but good to take a minute to stop and have a coffee.
Yeah, it looks like you've had a sharp haircut just in time for the chat, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. But I tidy it up from my cutting myself during lockdown. I went and got a professional to do it this time, so... Yeah, that's
and,
good.
And we've just had that situation where you're in the office for the first time since working at Centuro, and you've been here for months, right?
Yes, second time ever in the office. What did one day in the office, and then we got told to work from home. So I thought I'd get out of the house and have my second day officially in the company offices.
Strange times.
Yeah.
So Ben, what have you kind of seen in the news lately?
Yeah, well, I... one of the things I guess I jumped on was the American tech hearing of, are these companies too big and controlling too much of our data and too much of a monopoly on how we operate? So I found that quite interesting. To be honest, I only got through about 3.5 hours of the 6-hour hearing, but I got through some of the key parts. Obviously, it was Amazon, Facebook, Google, and who am I missing there? Amazon, Facebook, Apple. And are these companies too big? Do they control too much of our data? And are they using their size to push out the competition and so forth? So it felt like what I assume most people think of these sort of hearings. There was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, but it didn't feel like much got actually done or agreed upon. There was a lot of accusations from the congressmen and women and so forth of, we've heard reports that you did this thing where you bought out your competition and jacked the prices, and then there was a rebuttal to it, and then it kind of just didn't go much further. I think they only get given 5 minutes, but it was quite interesting to hear. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check it out.
Yeah, I watched it as well. It's quite interesting dynamic when you have, in the top 10 richest people in the world sitting there kind of representing, it was interesting how they tried to make themselves almost look like, we're not these big monsters, and Facebook's talking about the fact that, oh, but Amazon has more advertising than us. And it was quite an interesting dynamic. And also because you have these small little 5-minute stints, no one can go on too long a rant. But the one thing that I noticed is these guys, as you become founders of businesses, and I mean it's what we do. We help businesses grow, and I've often get asked, do you need an MBA to run a big business? And you don't to start a business, but you're going to eventually need one to run your own business if you're as successful. And what these founders have done is they're all very polished on the corporate kind of how to deal with Congress. And I often wonder about the PR machine around them and what can they say and what can't they say, because in those hearings, I think you're legally bound to what you're saying. You're there as a witness, not just as a guy trying to give some hype,
Yeah, there was lots of cases where the Google gentleman, whose name is escaping me at the moment, had to keep going, well, I'll come back to you on that. Like, I'm happy to look further into it and I'll come back to you. But they are also asking questions of, like, I know one of Amazon's questions was around diapers.com, where they sort of undercut them and then eventually bought them out and then jacked the prices back up. But that was from 11 years ago, and they're asking him to specifically reference situations and so forth, and he's just got to be, oh, sorry, that happened 11 years ago. This is what I think happened, but I can't be sure.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, when they're trying to grill people on historical data, it almost felt like a little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw a few clips here and there, but it kind of, I don't know whether it's a bad thing or not, but to an extent, it felt a little bit like a witch hunt. Here's the guys. We want to target them. We want to attack them, pull out this data. But there was one moment, which I did see the little short clip of, where Jeff Bezos was put on the spot and he couldn't give an answer about whether Amazon do use third-party data to make decisions, and it's against their policy. And he goes, no, it's against our policy, but I can't guarantee that, our employees haven't broken it at some point. So it's one way around it, I guess.
I guess that would be the difficulty when you've got so many employees. All it would take is him to say, nope, we've never done that. And then they go, well, actually, Susie Smith did it on January the 7th in 2009. And he's like, oh, how can you, I guess, control it? I think you're right. It's interesting how polished they have to be. I think I would almost find it a little bit annoying, because I know that some of it, like you said, almost a bit of a witch hunt, and they can never be right. Because I found one part quite interesting. One congressman was saying that Facebook shouldn't be censoring people. And I think they referred to a case, interestingly, he referred to a Twitter situation, but Mark Zuckerberg answered anyway. And I think it was on Donald Trump Jr. getting censored, because he was saying can't think of the name off the top of my head, was a cure for COVID, and stating it matter of fact. And obviously Mark Zuckerberg was saying, well, no, our policy is to take down anything that might cause harm. The congressman was saying, well, why don't you leave it as an open forum for debate? Why don't you let someone counter that and say, actually, no, here's the facts. And I think obviously his point was, you know, people can freely discuss the trials, they can discuss the theory around it, but if someone comes out and straight says, this is a proven thing and it's not, then that's potentially going to cause harm to someone. We need to shut that down. So then he was getting attacked by why isn't it a free open forum for debate? And then a different congressman changed the subject to hate speech or Black Lives Matter and going, well, why aren't you taking down hate speech fast enough? And then so the conversation is, well, no, why don't you? The other congressman's point was, why don't I leave it up there and let someone counter that hate speech as an open forum? So they're getting attacked from both sides, and both times he has to be very political, whereas I would almost go, well, no, what did that guy say? You two counter each other.
I mean, moderating speech is so difficult when you're kind of a hosting platform. You can't control what people say. So then when if you start removing things, you become the judge. I mean, there's certain obvious things that should be removed. But then sometimes it's a gray area. And I thought it was interesting how, I think it was it today or yesterday? Probably yesterday, Facebook actually removed a post by Trump where he said, for the first time, I think, what did he said? Children are, it's almost impossible for children to catch COVID or something along those lines.
Yeah. And they actually removed them. It's amazing, like less than a week after sitting there. But then it's going to be the conspiracy of where they're trying, the right wing's trying to, or the left wing's trying to kind of censor him, you know, in itself.
Yeah. It's a difficult discussion. Do you guys have any thoughts on if something like that should be broken up, I guess? So I did see one argument that actually if you broke up Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, all three companies would potentially be able to grow to have higher valuations as three individual companies than under one entity, that Instagram could become much more valuable as its own and so forth with WhatsApp. Do you think there'd be any value in looking in doing that?
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of why Facebook bought those in the first place? So kind of Mark Zuckerberg's strategy was, let's buy up anyone who's going to threaten our market share. So maybe, I don't know, they're three standalone companies all owned by the same parent company. So they could, I don't know whether it's worth breaking them up, because then who would run each of them? How would you choose who that is? How would Facebook be compensated? I think it'd get messy, but it's a good question. I don't know. What do you think, Serge?
I think it goes into the, you know, it's starting to edge into a belief or political kind of viewpoint of capitalism. Like, is capitalism a good thing, right? Because what we're actually doing is saying handcuff these guys because they have been so successful, where the rest of us that are not right at the top, everyone else is trying to be like them and be big and grow and create jobs. They're doing it, and they get to that point, and you get shackled onto that. You know, it reminds me of there was an article in Harvard Business Review about the five myths of strategy, and one of it is that competitive advantage is not a thing anymore because people can copy you so quickly. And the article actually said it competitive advantage is so important that they're needing Congress to kind of control these top guys. The thing with other businesses is that you can't rely on one competitive advantage. You need to have absolutely lots of different competitive advantages. And the thing with these companies is that as they grow and they buy other things, they no longer, like, what is Facebook? Is it a social media engine? Is it an advertising platform? Is it news? It's actually everything, right? So it then becomes, who am I competing with? And that's almost what they also came out with, is like, yeah, but I don't run more. There's other places that run more advertising than me. So therefore, you know, they're not the biggest, but if you put it all together, they're absolutely massive. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's the other danger is, you know, and I think to their benefit, some of the congressmen are very much like, we love capitalism. It's great. Like, it's created a lot of jobs and so forth. What we're concerned about is then the accumulative power you have behind all that. You know, it's not about how much money you're worth. It's about the combined power for you to then shut down your competitors. And like, is it an issue that Facebook, that Amazon, sorry, can instantly copy your product and make it the Amazon version of that, which will be at the top of rank? So as soon as you start making waves, you might get shut down because Amazon will copy your product, make it their home essentials version, and then they'll outsell you because they control the platform.
You know, yeah. it leads to the TikTok discussion. We were chatting about it before we started here. Is that, you know, the amazing thing is that all of these things are happening one after the other. You have the tech hearing, then Trump bans TikTok, and guess what? This week, Facebook and Instagram launch Reels, yeah, which is direct competition to TikTok. So what's actually happening here? Is it Make America Great Again? Is that what it is? Because it's almost kind of, let's bat China out and then we'll just do it with one of our companies.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, I wonder how much of it, though, is almost just like, if it wasn't China, if it was anybody else, would it be as big a thing? And is it almost like that's a way of, is it a political play from a distraction point of view of let's show that we're getting China out? And it then just happens to be the TikTok's the biggest thing, or, you know, I guess a lot of people are slightly asking, it's like, what are the coincidences that the American government takes away the biggest competitor to Instagram's new product within days, like you said, of also trials and so forth?
Yeah, I think the Chinese are trying to criticize the move, trying to say that, you know, the US is promoting its own companies against any other innovation from outside. But it is an interesting point because it's a tricky one with this particular situation, because obviously China's in trouble politically with a lot of countries at the moment. A lot of people aren't happy with a whole variety of different things that are going on. So with TikTok in particular, I mean, this is the first mainstream large Chinese app that has done really well outside of China. And I think they tried to say, oh, there's no fears about our data being shared with the Chinese government. You know, we store the data in the US. Their CEO is former Disney executive.
US-based as well. Yeah.
So they're kind of, they've made a lot of effort to separate themselves from, you know, the Chinese regime. But then, you know, being a lawyer, I have looked into some of the legal stuff. And if you look at the privacy policy on TikTok, it does say that they have the right to share user information with other members of their corporate group. And they're owned by ByteDance, which is the Chinese entity, which in China, and China has a law which says that all organizations, people have to contribute or, you know, have to comply with state intelligence when required. So I don't know. I mean, TikTok has denied that they would share information, but based on their privacy policy and Chinese laws, you know, there is that risk there. But then again, did Trump look into that? Is that his motivation? Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah. But do we think, I know it was the other big four in the trial hearing, but now I guess Microsoft is potentially buying TikTok. Does that then just continue to create bigger competitive issues of Microsoft will now have a huge amount of social data? It's a whole new branch for them. They haven't really been successful in that market in the past, so they're going to buy that market essentially for 30 odd billion potentially. Is that then just creating more of an issue, I guess? And I wonder if, so one of the arguments was the regulatory body shouldn't have, well, in the hearing was, shouldn't have let Facebook buy Instagram. And obviously Mark Zuckerberg refuted that, saying at the time it wasn't obvious it was going to be as big as it is. With hindsight, yes, it's very clear that Instagram's absolutely massive, but they didn't know that at the time of buying, so that's why it was a legal purchase. But will there be any issue if they're having these hearings to then say, actually, Microsoft, you can't have TikTok because it's anti-competition? Or are they going to let it happen so that then that revenue is in the States?
And yeah, that's a weird one, because Trump's even said the Treasury should get part of the funds from any acquisition because they're facilitating this transaction. Definitely, yeah. Sounds illegal, if anything. I'm not an expert on US laws, but surely that can't be allowed.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about massive brands. Something that I found this week is the kind of, I wanted to look at the top brands rated by Forbes, because Forbes kind of comes out with the top brands. And just for us, yeah, let me share the screen quickly. And let's just have a look at the top 10 brands or top 20 brands. And look at all the top five. Are basically the five people that we're all discussing that were at these things. I mean, if you just, I mean, look at the pure size of them. But interestingly enough, the only one to have kind of dropped on there was Facebook, which is down 21%. Some of the other brands that I found quite interesting on this list. So firstly, it's Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook as your top all tech companies. All American companies. The next is Coca-Cola, which, and Coca-Cola has been on this list and near the top for many, many years. They're still growing, believe it or not. Disney's up there, and it's interesting. Disney's they kind of categorized as leisure, but aren't they becoming tech as well? I mean, they've launched their competition to Netflix, haven't they? I mean, they've got Disney as well. So
it's another one of those. Sorry, they only just announced, I think recently in their quarterly report, they're at 60.5 million paying subscribers on Disney Plus now.
So that will be interesting, is when do they become a tech business and how high do they go up? And then what do you guys think about the fact that Louis Vuitton in the top 10, and I know this kind of comes as a, this data was probably taken pre-COVID, but both Louis Vuitton is the top, in the top 10, and if I look further up on the people that moved the most, Chanel grew 42% as the second highest grower from 2019 to 2020. What do you guys make of that, in the fact that we've got these luxury brands that are as big and are growing?
It's a weird one, because you also hear a lot of other companies going the other way, so I wonder what Louis Vuitton are doing differently to increase. So a 20% increase, it'd be, you know, $8 billion increase. And this is obviously just in the value of their brand. So Apple at $241 billion, we're just talking about their brand is worth that. I don't know what they're doing. So, I wonder if they've catered quickly to the online sort of market, or...
It's a funny one, because... based on our discussion just now, I mean, I'm not 100% sure on the exact rankings, but I'm pretty sure that China is the largest, or one of the largest consumers of luxury goods in the world. So their market is probably fueling the demand, or at least, I don't know about during COVID, but pre-COVID, for all these luxury goods. I can't remember which one it was. There was a big Italian luxury brand. One of the founders made a very potentially racist comment about Chinese people, and it almost killed the brand, because the Chinese market for luxury goods is so big. But it is interesting, the top five are all American tech companies. If you probably looked at this list 10, maybe 20 years ago, it probably would have been predominantly financial services. Now that you
mention it, let's go to this, and this is the top brands 10 years ago. So,
okay.
so Apple was still quite big. Apple was number one, Microsoft number two. There's Coca-Cola, IBM, which has literally dropped off the face, right? They were number four 10 years ago. Google was there, McDonald's, GE, which General Electric, which has also dropped. Marlboro, there's an interesting one that's probably... I mean, number eight brand 10 years ago, and now I don't think anywhere near the top.
25.
Is it 25? Yeah. Intel was in the top 10, and Nokia. Nokia was in the top 10.
By Microsoft.
I guess it part of it also just becomes the name, right? So, like, who these days thinks of IBM for any reason? Whereas before, when they were obviously such a big part of the technology, we talk a lot more obviously about software really when we look at these technology companies rather than physical technology. So I'd say that's probably where that sort of, and I guess the same with GE. I mean, they're not doing really well at the moment either, but probably in the same aspect. Back 10 years ago, we're probably talking a lot more about physical technology and capabilities, whereas now everything's more software as a service, and what is the brands we know on the internet, what's online sort of thing.
I mean, just if I could, what I wanted to ask, Zane, you as an IP lawyer, I mean, if you think of Louis Vuitton and their pure value, they have designs, they have the brand itself, yet they probably one of the biggest, you find knockoffs of Louis Vuitton anywhere. What would these guys be spending on IP? Are they even worrying about it, or do they just ignore the IP part of it and just say we will push the luxury level up, and if people copy, then it's the biggest form of flattery?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. I think that's kind of a $1 million or $1 billion question for a lot of these brands. How do you tackle that? Because obviously, in certain countries, particularly like China, India, the volume of like knockoff brands and counterfeit goods is so high that it actually devalues the value of those luxury goods. So if you've got lots of people carrying around a fake Chanel or a fake Louis Vuitton bag, then when you buy a real one, people are like, oh, it's probably a fake one. So it becomes less in demand in some of those countries. So being able to deal with that is a big, big problem and something people need to do. And historically, you'd say, oh, the quality is obvious, the difference in the quality. But these days, they're not necessarily strict knockoffs. Sometimes it's actually they've got the exact same samples, the tools they use in the factories. Someone's got a hold of those, so the quality is almost identical because it's been stolen. So it's a big, big problem. It's something that these brands don't want to ignore, probably can't ignore, and you've got to look at it on a market by market basis and kind of evaluate how much you put, what level of resources you put in based on the demand, based on how much you realistically can achieve in each region. But it's a big problem.
Do we think any of these guys are still going to be here in 10 years? Any of this sort of top list? If we were to go back and have guessed if IBM would still be there, etc., 10 years ago, do we think any of these guys are going to drop off? Because I guess it comes down, that's a big part of the question, similar with some of the S&P 500, etc. The average lifespan on that list has definitely dropped over the last 30, 40 years. Do we want to make any predictions as to who's still here in 10 years, or maybe easier, if one of these guys are going to fall off?
It might depend on the outcome of this hearing. Yeah. And what the next steps are, and whether they target each of these companies individually. And like you said, what if Facebook gets broken up into separate entities, you know? I'd say Google would still be up there. I mean, everybody uses Google as a search engine. Yeah. It's so kind of stuck in there. It's even part of the vernacular, oh, Google it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, that's it. I think that 93% was the stat, I think, at the hearing of all searches go via them. And that was part of the problem of they control what 93% of the world sees based off their algorithms and their choices.
Yeah, it is scary. If I could just change. I saw some other information today. I was looking at Lufthansa has made a 1.7 billion euro quarterly loss in this last quarter, and they are only predicting travel to pick up again in 2024 back to the current levels. And then I kind of researched what has the airline industry lost, and that's this year $84 billion, according to IATA, which is the International Traveling Association. Would you want to be an airline executive right now? I mean, there's no place to hide, right? Just is no place to hide. And I know that a lot of airlines are kind of propped up by government. So there's, you know, Dubai, I mean, Emirates is kind of really paid for by the Emirati or the government. British Airways is, I don't know if they, are they, is British Airways a 100% private company, or are they getting big injections of cash from the government?
They're part of IAG, I think, the International Airlines Group. And I think because they are the national airline, they've been given some sort of cash injections from the government. I actually made a terrible mistake. So I was looking at some opportunities for investing in this period. And IAG, which owns British Airways, I think they own like some Spanish airlines, a few others. their share price dropped dramatically, and it was almost like, I think it was like £1, or right now it's £1.60 a share, something like that. And then being coming up to July, August, and then lockdowns easing, people started to book more flights. EasyJet reported, oh, 40%. They booked up to 40% when they predicted 30, so maybe it's going to get better. So I thought, oh, maybe the share price will go up. Let me put a little bit in there. And in like 2 weeks, I'd lost 55% of what I put in, because it just keep the values just continued to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, I've seen that popping up as a bit of a trend of do we gamble on the cruise line companies coming back? Like, how could it get much worse than what it is now, and so forth? I interestingly saw that Trump announced Kodak was getting an injection of funds, and then immediately their stock value jumped up. I think it might have come back down, but like, there's just crazy swings happening of people putting in a little bit of good news, your money will spike up. But then I guess people are probably going to yank it out as quickly as they can to make that bit of profit. And then the stock will go back down and people are going to be sort of losing that potential value there. I think it's made the stock market an interesting bit of a wild, wild west in terms of what's going on, where the ups and downs are coming. I think it's a bit unpredictable.
A brave man to be putting money in the stock market now. but it's, that's what you need to be in these times. You got to be brave, and you don't know when the bottom's going to be there, but I think if you left your money in there, you'll gain it back in the medium term.
Yeah.
It's just whether you kind of playing the quick win or not is the thing,
Yeah. Unless you pick a company that then goes under.
That too. And then just one last thing from my side is that on the good news side is that Adidas are showing signs that they are actually coming back up to their pre-COVID profitability, and mainly due to the sale of slippers and in kind of fitness wear, because people they're literally saying slippers are tripled or quadrupled in sales because people are literally sitting wearing slippers in their Zoom and meetings.
I'm doing that right now.
I found it so funny that they actually mentioned the slippers as one of the reasons why their sales are increasing. So you never know where the upturn's going to go. Maybe that's where you should put your money.
slippers.
Yeah, look into
the slipper
brand.
Market.
That is until the big four buy it all out, apparently.
Yeah. Microsoft slippers on their way.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, cool, guys. Well, I mean, I think if that sort of wraps us up in terms of time, otherwise we'll sit here talking all afternoon.
Yeah.
But that's a good sort of catch up. Thanks for the coffee. Well, I guess we'll kind of get back to work and catch up again next week. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Stop recording. Okay.